Ashley Adamson, Lisa McCaffrey, back for more as we welcome you to another week of Your Mom. Lisa, do you think that people are still surprised every week when there's a new episode? Like, oh, those two are still doing it?
No, because they probably have moms and they're like, yeah, my mom's so annoying. Like, I can't get rid of her. Oh my gosh.
She just keeps showing up.
Hey, bam, we're here again. Hey.
Hello.
It's your mom. Oh, there was a funny comedy skit about this guy does this big rant about, he goes, I know y'all do it. I go, every time you see that it's your mom calling, he looks at it and every guy's reaction is, it says a bad word, but he's like, darn it. Like, why is my mom calling again? Like, and he goes, all my mom ever did was love me. And I'm just like, so resentful. Like most moms are like, just like the most loving person on earth.
Yes. But it's kids. Kids can never appreciate their moms enough, no. Their parents and their mom. I mean, there's some major truth to that. I will say we have received some amazing emails this week. That this is one of the reasons why we keep coming back every week and doing this. Yeah. So I got to shout out Susan S. and Kathy from Chatham, Vermont. You two in particular, Chatham Kathy. Yeah. Made our day, like our week. And so we appreciate you guys listening and we're horrible at this, but we've been reminded recently that we need to remind all of you beautiful listeners that if you do like the show and you do listen, the thing that you can do the most to help us out, other than send us an email and fluff our egos.
Susan's was the best because she starts off with, you know, I thought this was going to be another like self-important,
vapid show about
like not interesting. Like we're the greatest parents ever. Little did she know what she was walking into. Like basically tell you what not to do as a parent, how we screwed our kids up and how we still are. Yeah.
I love that she was so honest. She was like, I was so surprised you guys had some real, you know, like you guys went there and you're vulnerable. And so Susan, thank you for giving us a chance and a shot. We appreciate that very much. But what I was going to say is if you like the show, what you can do to help us out is rate, review, subscribe, wherever you listen. We also have a YouTube page as well, if you haven't checked that out, but it's the only way, and I don't know about math or algorithms, but I've told that the only way that the algorithm sees our show is if you actually rate and subscribe. So if you can take one moment out of your day, it's a numbers game. Just drop us a rating or review.
I think there's a write-off in there somewhere. I think you can write it off.
Gotta be. Yeah. Except because we've figured that out. We've figured out.
Not sure exactly what a write-off is, but you can write it off.
We're still working on that. We're a year into the podcast and we're still trying to figure out what a write-off is. So if anybody has any financial advice, please let us know. Okay. But Lisa, I don't want to belabor the point because you get all the credit in the world for the episode that we have today. And I just want to start by giving your son, Christian, so much credit for the work he is doing. I have been covering professional athletes and athletes for 15 years, and I've been to a million charity functions. And I would say a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them, it's the athlete is lending their name to a cause and showing up and signing a few autographs and feeling like they're making a difference. What Christian is doing is completely different than that. It's the opposite. So we'll introduce our guest in a minute, but just to set this up, because I think it does require a little bit of backstory. Christian and his foundation, Christian McCaffrey Foundation, is that?
Yes.
So they've launched an initiative called the Logan Project. And it was a couple years ago. And just correct me if I just want to make sure. Sure. I have all this right. Christian was playing for the Panthers. Mm-hmm. He gets a message from somebody in the NFL that a 12-year-old boy named Logan Hale, who was a huge fan of his, had pediatric cancer, he had leukemia. And Christian recorded a video for him. He encouraged him, told him to keep fighting. Christian never actually met Logan, but found out later that Logan passed away. And he read in his obituary that Logan was buried in Christian's jersey. And he said, I was watching an interview with Christian the other day. He said, that's when it hit him so hard. So do you remember this when Christian called you and told you about Logan?
I absolutely do. Are you kidding? It's one of those things you'll never forget. Yeah. I remember him just telling me the story and I'm thinking, oh, you know, another fan. And then he's like, oh, and then when he said he passed away, I was like heartbroken. And then when he said he was buried in his jersey, I was like speechless. I was just taken completely aback. I was like, are you kidding me? You can impact somebody that strongly. I should probably be nicer to you. But I was like, I was floored. I was just, I couldn't believe that somebody like, I was just that really was heartbreaking in a way, but also honored that he chose Christian's jersey too. So
no, it's, I mean, I think it's all of those things. It is the reminder of what these athletes can mean to kids. Like they are truly heroes. And in that obituary, Christian said that he also learned that Logan, who loved video games and played Madden, had a dream of creating a nonprofit that would put like specialized gaming consoles in children's hospitals all over the country. So that kids can not only feel normal, right? Like you're sick when you're in the hospital, but there's some normal, and that you can stay connected to your friends, and maybe to the athletes that they look up to. So it was like a brilliant idea. Obviously Logan didn't live long enough to see that through, but when Christian saw that, he decided that he was going to bring that idea to life. And he has done that in so many ways. And this Saturday, June 3rd, I know you've put in a lot of work to make this happen as well, and have seen it from behind the scenes, but the foundation is hosting, what would you call it? Like
the Logan Bowl. It's the Logan Bowl. Yeah.
The Logan Bowl is what it's called.
There's eight players from eight different teams across the country, each representing their city or their town. Because each of them, if whatever money they each player raises, that's, they're going to put gaming consoles in the children's hospital in their area. Which is kind of cool. So, but it's eight players and they play like just a tournament style. There'll be four games first. Then the winners of that will play a game, and then we'll get to the finals, and we'll finally, at the end of the day on June 3rd, know who the best Madden player is in all of the NFL. And Christian and Greg Olson will be the hosts of the Madden Bowl all day. So
they're not playing, which is, you know.
Yeah, they're not playing in it. They're a little scared, but that's okay. They're going to host. They're going to keep the ball rolling. And Greg is so entertaining in himself. So
it's going to be great.
Those two together are great. Yeah, that'll be fun in itself. So, and man, what a great cause. So the Logan Bowl, and we have an awesome trophy. It's a controller in gold. That's what the winner gets. So it's so good. So yeah, I'm really passionate about this. This is a really neat thing that they're doing. And our goal is to get a couple consoles in every children's hospital. So every kid who has to be isolated because of treatment or is, you know, lonely can play and stay connected with their friends and other patients. So
it's an amazing idea. Honestly, like it seems kind of amazing that this doesn't already exist. The more that I've thought about it, I'm like, this is a beautiful way to, you know, and there's from what I've understood, there's been a lot of money raised already. And not only is it going to be great for the kids and the families of people who are the patients, but I think it's a beautiful way to honor Logan's legacy and keep his name alive.
Right. And you can, if you donate and you don't want it to go to a particular city, there's a open, you know, donation that will distribute among other of hospitals that need it, that need consoles. So
Lisa, you and I are talking the other day and brainstorming, like, how can we help get the word out about this awesome event that's happening? And you said brilliantly, we should have Logan's mom, Christina, on the show. So great job by you. No doubt we should have Christina on. What a better way to talk about this unbelievable thing that we've got going on. Christina Hale, welcome to your mom. We are honored to have you on the show. Thanks so much for doing this.
I am honored to be on your show. This is amazing. Absolutely amazing. I couldn't ask for anything better.
Well, hopefully you'll still feel that way at the end, because sometimes after Lisa interviews people, they regret coming on here. But
yeah, I saw your show.
No, and I just have to tell you, it's been a gift to be able to connect with both of you over text and kind of see, you know, the relationship between the two of you and two moms who have never actually met each other, but whose sons are going to be forever connected. And we're going to hear about who Logan was. And I'm excited to have you share all those sort of stories and memories. But can we just start with, like, how did Logan become a Christian McCaffrey fan? Because you guys live in Connecticut, right?
Yes, we live in Connecticut. And to be honest, he watched all the players. He watched college football. He knew who was ranking and who was going to get, you know, probably first picks and all that kind of stuff. Stuff that I really don't understand. But he kind of taught me a little bit about that. And he liked Cam Newton and liked OBJ. And I said, oh, this is perfect. You know, Odell Beckham Jr. is here. And so we can kind of like scratch off Cam Newton, so we don't have to keep flying down there, because he was adamant about having to go to home games. And, you know, we're in Connecticut. We have to go down to New York and get a plane and, you know, go down to Charlotte. And it's not easy from Connecticut. So we have to go to a JFK, which is approximately an hour and 15 minutes away. And so I try to discourage that, to be honest. I said, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. is so great, and you should like really go to it, to his camps, and like get to know him, and you're going to love him. He's like, no, guess who's on the Panthers now? And I'm like, who? He's like, Christian McCaffrey. He's a running back. But you should see him. He basically is doing parkour when he's on the field. And I was like, okay.
That's the best description ever.
Yeah. And so I said, well, just do me a favor. Let's give it a go. Let's give it a try because
Odell, you know, he's a lot closer. Odell is way closer.
We can go an hour and 15 minutes. We can be at a game and, you know, we can take you to a lot more games. And he's like, okay, I'll do this summer camp thingy that you want me to do. He was there. He went and, you know, met Odell and did all the drills. Honestly, he spent about 80% of the time hanging out with his mom.
Wow.
He did not really like get into the drills or anything. He was like, I'm here just to pacify you. It wasn't until we were on the car ride home that he said, I need you to stop telling me who to be a fan of. He's like, I like Christian McCaffrey. I like Cam Newton. I don't know why I like them, but I like Christian McCaffrey. And I said, well, show me who he is. Like, what's so great about him? Like, he's like, he does like parkour. He's doing like gymnastics. He's just like, I don't know. He says he does like all these amazing things. He's like, the things that I do in Taekwondo, he does them on the field.
Wow. And you know, Christian loves Bruce Lee. You know, he trains, some of his training is like Bruce Lee and, you know, the way he moves his body like water, and you know, that's so very important in his training. Yeah. That's so
funny. So I guess Logan saw that because he said he's like doing parkour and Taekwondo and he's doing like all these tricks. And I said, okay, well, I got to see who this guy is. Yeah. And so he showed me right away. We went on YouTube and he showed me who Christian was. And then he says, and you're not going to believe this. He played for Stanford. He's like right there next to you when you were growing up, when you were a kid. And I was like, oh, okay. Then I really have to see this guy.
Oh, how and so you grew up in California then?
I did. Okay. I grew up in the Monterey area.
Love it.
So yeah, I grew up there and I grew up watching Montana, you know, going to those games and Steve Young. And then, so he's like, you're going to like him because he's playing in California. He played there. I said, okay. And then I saw this beautiful person doing all the things that Logan was telling me about. And I was like, you're right. He's pretty awesome. I'm like, can we talk about Odell? And he's like,
Odell is pretty awesome. Just one last time. I'm not going to lie to you.
And then he's like, no, like watch him. He's like, you're not watching. If you're asking me about another football player, you're obviously not watching. I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. So here
and
I am.
How old was he at the time?
Christian was just in. So he must have been like 6 years old.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's
He was about 7 years old. And I don't think he has lost all his front teeth yet.
Oh, wow. Okay. So he's pretty. How old was he when he started playing football?
This is a tricky question because he started playing football in one of those pictures that's on his website. Mm-hmm. And one of the ones that I sent to the Christian McCaffrey Foundation, I thought he was 2. When I went back last night and I looked, he was 1.5. So he picked up a football since like the very first time.
Walking. Oh my gosh.
And he used to put the football down. And so it couldn't go between his legs. So he would walk over it and say, hike. Oh, and then so you go back, pick up the ball. So he would snap the ball to himself, then turn around, pick up the ball and run. Nobody was chasing him. Nobody was doing anything. And then he would throw it down and say, touchdown. And he was so like 1.5, almost 2. He just loved it. He absolutely loved it. Everything was about football. He had a football in his bed that he would just throw up in the air. We put him in every sport. He had gymnastics, he had Taekwondo, he was on the Olympic trial, track, so he could go to the Olympics when he was eligible, which would have been this year. He would have been able to do the Olympic trials because he won in nationals, the gold medal, which qualified him for worlds, which would have qualified him for Olympic trials. Wow. And then Olympics. And there was no doubt in our mind that he would have gone that way. Wow. So he was on that track to go there.
Can you describe, it's clear football was in his DNA, sports was in his DNA, but like, who was Logan? Like when this little baby came into the world, like what was your son like?
He was, I say this because he's my baby. But he was perfect. He didn't cry. He didn't complain. He basically just existed and explored the world around him. When he was, I would say, like 7 months old, I started listening to him kind of babble every time I would put him to bed. At night, I would put him in his crib, and then I would sit outside the door, and I would hear words, not necessarily complete words, but he would just go through the entire day of everything that happened throughout the day.
Oh my gosh. Like,
you know, we went to the zoo, and I saw this, and whatever happened that day, he would just go through it every single night. The only problem I had with him when he was a baby is that at 7, 8 months old, he would jump out of the crib.
Christian did the same thing. Christine, I promise you, he did the same thing. We couldn't keep him in his crib. I was thinking, I want to build the like walls of the crib higher.
He
was,
yes.
Hey, you got to put a lid on it. That was my idea.
Or a lid. Yes, a lid.
Well, I thought like, I just need a cage because this is a little monkey. He's just like climbing over. So there's these things called yogi balls. And so we used to put all these pillows and yogi balls around to make sure that if he jumped out, he wouldn't get hurt.
We did the exact same thing. We put all these pillows all around
because all around
he was going to jump out. We couldn't stop him.
And then he was like maybe one years old, and it was like, oh, okay, it's going to be potty training time. I'm so excited. I was so excited to do every stage because Ethan was so different. They're complete opposites.
And Ethan is his older brother, who's six years older.
He's 6 years older, yes. So complete opposites. Ethan is very business-oriented, very much into cybersecurity and computer programming. And Logan was the sporty one. And so I wanted to be present, like super present for everything that I did with Logan because I was that way with Ethan. And just when I went to go potty train him, he was already potty trained.
Oh my
God. Was like, I do it myself.
Wow.
And I'm like, no, but let's, you know, he would eat me right now if he was here. I'm like, no, let's put a diaper on you. Because then he would get up in the middle of the night and say, Mama, bathroom. And I was like,
that is amazing.
That's literally a dream.
That is a dream. But you're like, no, we're supposed to do this together and I'm supposed to stay home and we're supposed
to be hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I got the books. I'm like, I went and got all these books. We were supposed to like sit on the potty and I was going to read you a book and all these things. And he's like, no, me do it.
I'm done. I'm out.
So everything, he was 100% independent since day one. I wanted to feed him. No. 8 months old, he wanted to do homework. So he learned to read and write when he was 2.5.
Oh my gosh.
He learned how to multiply by the time he was 3. So,
He was like growing up so fast.
And I kept like pushing him back and I kept trying so hard to hold him back. And there was no holding him back. He was, I always say he was not from this world because he came in like a wrecking ball and did all these things and nothing affected him. I remember in a Taekwondo competition, he broke his foot. In the very first time he was doing a spin and broke a board, he broke his foot. And I saw something on his face right away. So I'm like, something happened. He continued and finished the entire routine.
Kind of like Cora with her pink eye.
Very similar to my daughter. Yep. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. She just shut it down for a week with a little conjunctivitis.
Wow.
That's amazing, Christina. Yeah. That really. Yeah. So, okay. When did you first realize? Because he's obviously, you paint such a beautiful picture of who he was and the light that he had and how advanced he was and that he was not, I think you put it perfectly, he was not from this world. Yeah. When did you notice that something wasn't right?
Actually, he had strep throat. It was right before his 11th birthday. It was in December, late December. We had just come back from a Disney trip and we figured he got something from somebody and went to the doctor and they said, oh yeah, it's strep throat. It's no big deal. But his blood counts were very low. And so they said, but you have nothing to worry about because when you have such a bad infection, you end up having bone marrow suppression. So he went into the hospital just to evaluate or keep an eye on him type of thing. He ended up moving to the Children's Medical Center in Hartford, Connecticut. And he stayed there for 3 weeks and they could not figure out what was wrong with him because he did not present like a typical leukemia child. He did not have any blastocytes in his blood. He didn't have your typical things that would dictate that is a possibility. And they said, oh, you know, there's this new virus coming out from China. Maybe he ended up getting that. So people were in like bunny suits and all the time when they went into the
team. They thought he had COVID?
Yeah. And they tested him for every possible thing. And then finally, one doctor said, well, you know what? We should do a bone marrow just in case he might have leukemia. But, you know, there's like 1 in 1,000 chances that he has leukemia. You have nothing to worry about. This is probably still just bone marrow suppression. And I was, you know, in tears, of course, like,
right,
we have to find out what's going on with him. And it came back that it was positive for ALL. So he had acute lymphoblastic leukemia. It was devastating. And I didn't know how to handle it. I called everybody I knew and like, what hospital do we go to? What do I do? What's the best place to be at? And everybody said, oh, you know, we're so lucky that we live so close to New York because we have Sloan Kettering and it's a great hospital. And I said, yeah, I don't want to go to just a children's hospital. I want it to be a cancer treatment center because he would have the best odds there. And the doctor said, you know, there's a 98% chance survival rate with this kind of leukemia. If you're going to have leukemia, this is the best kind of leukemia to have. So he had a really good prognosis and he did everything he did as treatment wise was difficult for him because he was allergic to certain kinds of chemo. He was allergic to certain types of anti-nausea medication. Then anti-nausea medication stopped working for him. And so he went through a tremendous amount of poking and prodding and doing all these insane type of things that I am in awe when I see what the kids go through and what they have to do. Just, they didn't do anything to cause this. You know, they're just these innocent children and they're just being poked, prodded every day, taking blood out every day. A needle is going somewhere and they're giving these chemicals that completely kills all their immune system. And they're just, you know, you see how feeble, how tired, and how they seem like little zombies, to be honest. It's just, and it's so painful to watch. Logan was not like that. He was in that state, but he would say, I'm not missing football practice. I know I just had treatment, but by the time I get back to Richfield, I'll be fine. And so he would force me to take him from the hospital straight to football practice. He's like, if I need to throw up, there's a lot of trees. I can just go over there. He's like, don't worry, I'll be fine. And I'm like, no, just, you have a port that's like close to your heart. And if something happens, he's like, don't worry, I will wear something. I will wear
protective,
you know, the gear, so we can just play catch, because he wasn't allowed to actually practice. So he would just play catch with some of the kids and see how far they can throw. Then he said, well, you know, if I'm sick, maybe I can be the kicker and, you know, just see how far I can punt, because Gano has like a 64 yard record or something like that. Graham Gano, who was with the Panthers at one point, and he had like all these stats of everybody. And he would say, well, if I can't do that, maybe I can do it like this person. But then, you know, it always came back around to Christian. He's like, just watch him play. He just like goes through the middle and just fights for that little inch to get the first down. He's like, I'm going to be like him. I'm going to beat cancer. I'm going to, you know, get back on the field and I'm going to be, I'm going to skip some grades. Hopefully I can get to play with Christian. And I'm like, sweetheart, even if you skip grades, you're going to be like a nugget. You're not going to be able to play. And he's like, no, I will, because I can do it. And anything he set his mind to, he accomplished. There is not one thing that he failed at that he said, this is what I'm going to do, and got it done.
Did he get a message from Christian when he was in the hospital, a video message?
He did. So on Christmas Day, this is where there's like a little bit of a confusion on when he passed away. Some people say he was 13 and some people say he was 12, because he passed away in my heart on December 25th on Christmas Day, because he ended up going into cardiac arrest and he never came back from it. Mm-hmm. And it took a while for the doctors to go through all the processes that you have to go through in order to declare. And when he was declared, it was already December 30th, which was the day before my birthday. And his cardiac arrest was the day before his birthday.
Oh, God, Christina.
So, we have a friend who has, I guess, a connection with the NFL. And she knew because her son played on the same team as Logan played. And she said, everybody knows in this town that Logan adores Christian McCaffrey. So she said, let me see if I can get somebody to send him a message, because we all thought he was going to come back from this. We never in a million years thought that an ulcer would end up causing cardiac arrest. We never in a million years imagined that that was going to happen. He was doing so well that he was just days before he had an event and he was with all his friends and everything was just perfect. And he was strong and happy. And it just happened that on the 24th, he didn't feel well. And on the 25th, he went into cardiac arrest. So Christian sent him a message. And I think they got Shaq Thompson to send him one as well. And as much as we like Shaq Thompson, because he also wore his jersey once in a while, we said, oh, this is going to just like bring Logan back. Just hearing Christian's voice is going to bring him back, because he cares more about him than his parents. He would trade us in a heartbeat. He would drop us. If Christian said, hey, you want to live in my guest house and you can watch me practice? He would be gone. Logan would be gone. No goodbyes, nothing. He would just leave us. He would trade us in a heartbeat. He got that message and it was so emotional. And I think that is the last voice he heard.
Oh.
We saw tears running down his face. That was the last thing he did.
What's up, Logan? This is Christian McCaffrey. I just wanted to wish you a very speedy recovery. I just want to say I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you, and you're inspiring me with your fight. So, as always, keep pounding, buddy.
So, it was like he waited. I felt like he waited for the person, for his hero, to like hear his voice, and then that night, they started telling us that it was going to be very difficult for him to come back. But I kept thinking, no, he heard Christian's voice and he started crying. So there's something there. And I kept yelling at other doctors, like, don't give up on him. Don't give up on him. And I'm like, we're never going to give up on him. But the 26th, on his birthday, he was no longer presenting very much activity. So in my heart, I feel that it was Christian's voice that he heard as his last thing.
Wow. Oh, Christine. Wow. Well, we know where Logan got his strength from, that's for sure, after hearing this. Wow. That's gosh.
When was the first time that you heard from Christian after Logan passed away?
We heard through that friend of ours, we heard that he wanted to do more within days. He said they told him, they called his agent and said, thank you for sending that video, but Logan has passed away. Mm-hmm. And he was buried in New Jersey. We basically took a bunch of stuff from his room that he cherished. He had gotten a ball that had Christian's signature on it from a friend. Apparently they bought it somewhere and they gave it to him earlier, like a year before. So we put that ball in there with him. and we put he basically in a Panthers uniform, you know, in a Christian uniform, and all the things that he loved, like the first football that he got when he went to his first game to watch Christian play. He bought one at Bank of America Stadium, and it was, he cherished it because it was, he could have gotten the ball anywhere else, but it was from Bank of America Stadium where Christian played. So that it was worth $1 billion to him. I could have gotten the same ball for, you know, $12 here. No, he wouldn't have cared for that. He wanted the one that he got at Bank of America. So we put all the most special things that he had, and it all revolved around football. He did win a lot of titles with Taekwondo, and he played a bunch of other sports, excuse me. And nothing compared to his love for football. And he used to tell us, look at him. He fights for every yard. Look at how, like, he just jumps over people. I'm going to do that. You'll watch me beat cancer. You'll watch me do this, and I'm going to be just like him, and I'm going to probably end up going to same university. I'll be at Stanford, and, you know, all these things. And he's like, too bad grandma just passed away, because we could have, I could have seen her more often. And my mom did pass away a couple months before, but she always used to send my kids Christmas gifts in a form of a check. Your typical old style mom, you know, or grandma. Well, she'll send a check to the kids for Christmas and their birthdays. And this time she said, oh, I'm sending the kids an early Christmas present. And it was a San Francisco 49ers blanket.
No way.
Yeah. So we got, that was Logan's present, a San Francisco 49ers blanket. And
he's probably thinking at that time, what?
He said, grandma really wants me to be a different kind of fan, huh? And I said, no, it's just, you know, the local thing there. And it's no big deal. He's like, well, that was your team, so I guess it's okay. I'll accept it. And I won't say anything to grandma about it. And I'm like, okay.
That is wild.
After everything happened and everything, I looked back and I said, like, what are the odds that Christian gets traded? And he gets traded to the team that I grew up with.
Right. And your mom liked. I feel like Logan's looking down and making some of this happen. I'm like, I can't help it. I feel like they're soulmates somehow.
I just think that absolutely there has to be some kind of connection. And I do think that he truly saw himself in Christian. Yeah. And he just tried to be as much like him as he could in every possible way. So he would do parkour, he would do gymnastics, he would do taekwondo, lacrosse, basketball, you name it, he would do it. And I said, well, if you're going to stick to football, why are we doing all of this? He's like, because it centers your core and you're able to do all these other things.
Oh my gosh, he sounds like Christian too. That's just something Christian would say. Wow, Christina, yeah. It's almost eerie that they're connected. I believe it. I truly believe it. I really do. I think there's a reason for everything. There's a reason they connected. And I know Christian is just honored to try to keep his name alive and honor his wishes. And, you know, he's doing things like the Logan Bowl and all. And wow. I feel like Logan has a hand in all of this.
I really do too, because I thought to myself, what are the odds that this, the person that he adored so much that he never got to meet, because he wanted to go to all these different games because he always bought something. And he said, I'm going to see if I can get it signed by Christian. So we even delayed treatments in order for him to go down to Charlotte to watch him play. Wow. This is how important it was to him. He just, the Panthers, Christian, that was his life.
And it's so funny because you're not even close to Carolina, and the Panthers weren't a strong contender any of those years. I mean, it's just, that's, and for him just to pick him out like that is,
well, he said,
there's something in the universe that's like bringing them together. I really believe it. I know it sounds silly.
It doesn't sound silly. Yeah.
You know, it's because there's other, you know, there's quarterbacks that have this amazing career. And I used to say, well, you know, there's these other guys. Why can't we like watch other things?
And he was like, home, so I don't have to get on a plane.
I'm like, how about even the Philly, the Eagles? I'm like, yeah. It's a little closer. We can drive there. He's like, are you kidding me? And so one day he sat me down, grabbed me by the shoulders, and he said, listen, Boomer, you need to stop doing this. And I was like,
did he say, listen, Boomer?
Yes.
Wow.
Like holding me by the shoulders. And he's like, you have to stop doing this. I'm going to go to the games. I work. He's like,
he was an actor, right? We haven't talked about this, right?
Yeah. He was also an actor. So he knew he had his own money. So he said, if you don't want to pay for it, I will pay for it.
Wow.
He's like, and I'll even treat you. I'm like, hey, you're so disrespectful. Stop being so, you know, you can't talk like that to your mother. He's like, well, my mother has to respect my wishes.
Oh my gosh. He's sounding more and more like Christian every story.
Oh my gosh. Listen, Boomer.
I always say he's not of this world for those kind of reasons, because he was so quick-witted and so sarcastic and ready with anything. I couldn't say something like, for instance, I started cooking steaks for them. And I thought that if you cook a steak a little too raw, it would be like there would be some kind of bacteria. And my son was young. His system was not completely developed, so I'm gonna cook the steak well done. So then he would say to his brother, hey Ethan, I think we have to order Uber Eats because mom made some of those California bricks again.
Like, oh my gosh, I love him.
I was just gonna say, knowing Christian's sense of humor, I do, I feel like the more and more I hear about Logan, I'm like, yeah, that's they're connected.
I spent an hour and a half cooking this dinner for you guys. Yeah. And they're ordering Uber Eats. I'm like,
and they're making fun of your meal. Yeah, that's
good. They're so special.
He's like, you're making California bricks. What do you expect us to eat?
What do you want?
Like, hey, we can't eat that. We need to have a dentist living in the house for that kind of stuff. And I'm like, okay.
Oh, so my then, gosh.
Wow. In the morning, he decided that's it. I'm not cooking anymore. He was going to take it upon himself to make his own meals. He's like, I don't like the way you cook. You don't put enough spices on things. You cook things way too much. He's like, the cow's already dead. You don't have to kill it again. And so I said, okay, honey, I've always been like a very free range parent where like you go off and find what you want to do. You try everything you want to try. And I'm here in case you fall, in case you need anything, but I'm not going to guide you to do things that I would have wanted you to do. You just go ahead and do it. Except with the whole OBJ thing, because
tried to force that. I get it too.
We don't blame you. I don't blame you.
I mean, a lot of travel. So I mean, he used to tell me, look at all my miles.
Oh my gosh.
He was proud to have all those miles because he was flying so much down to
his hero. Of course. That's a badge of honor in many ways, of just because it's the dedication. And I think, Lisa, you know this, and I think Christian knows this, and everybody who has been an athlete at the level that, you know, when you play a professional sport, people and young kids look up to you. And I think that you sort of understand that, but I think until you hear a story like this, you can't possibly articulate what these heroes mean to these young kids and how they can impact their lives. And that is the thing that I know.
I take it for granted that Christian can have an impact like that on somebody. I'm like honored. I'm floored. I'm almost speechless. Cause I want to go give Christian a hug in a way now too.
Well, me too.
I had no idea.
I say that he helped me raise Logan, because Christian has such good values that Logan would look at his Instagram pages or his Instagram posts, and there was always something that's in the Bible that would say something nice, you know, about, I don't know, some kind of verse or something. And Logan would always have so much empathy for everybody else that I think that he pulled from Christian a lot. From his point of view as well, Logan would give anybody anything. I mean, to the point that Mr. Beast at one point had a burger. I don't know if he still does, but he had a Mr. Beast burger. Logan was doing skateboarding with his friends and, you know, learning tricks and that kind of stuff. And he had about 8 friends. And he said, oh, you guys haven't tried the Mr. Beast burger? I haven't either. Why don't we order some? I get this ding on my phone for like a $200 order. And I'm like, oh, this has to be a complete error. This can't be right. And they had ordered from like 2 times over in Norwalk. There's a restaurant that creates a Mr. Beast burger. And he ordered it for everybody in the park. He's like, wow. And he said,
you know who Mr. Beast is, Ashley?
I don't know.
I've had to learn who Mr. Beast is. He's a huge, huge figure in the gaming world.
He's
like a popular gamer in all the gaming world. Thus, Logan loved gaming, right?
I was going to say, I think we do need to talk about that because that's with the Logan project.
But that's how he connected with his friends.
That's how he connected with people. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and yes, he connected with his friends, but I have to take it back all the way to when he was just barely 3 years old. He used to think that he was a streamer. We never told him that he wasn't actually online. But his brother, Ethan, he got a beta version of Minecraft when he was at some kind of computer camp. So yeah. Ethan learned to play Minecraft very early on. And so Logan, of course, jumped on board. And he was like 3 years old. And I think I sent you a video of this where Twitch wasn't a thing yet. I think it was just like YouTube. So he would like log in and say, hi, everybody. So here we are. We're going to play. We're going to make this house and it's going to be out of bricks and all these things. He was 3. He had no idea he wasn't on the internet. And I was just like, okay, baby, go ahead and stream your game. And his little hand was just moving all over the place. And actually one of his friends just saw the video and she texted me and she's like, I can't believe his hands were moving so fast at that age and that he could play Minecraft at that age. I'm like, I don't know, sweetheart. He just did things. He definitely didn't put absolutely any limits on himself. He always knew that he could do whatever he wanted to do if that's what he wanted, if he put his mind to it. He's like, it's almost as though, he told me one day, it's almost as though if you want it so much, you're in your heart, your brain knows, and your brain knows how to create it. And I said, oh, that's a really interesting way of looking at it. I said, I can give you affirmations because I know, you know, affirmations and manifestation and that kind of stuff. He's like, no, if your heart needs it and wants it, your brain communicates to your brain and then you just do it. And I thought, well, that's a much simpler way to look at it as opposed to Deepak Chopra or, you know, all these self-help people.
Right.
He just like quickly told me all the books that I read in my life about self-help. He just put it in a couple words.
He's so wise beyond his years. It seems like he lived like how we all should live in 12 years, he got the most out of his 12 years of his life. He got more out of that than most people I know. It's just the way you speak about him is just, I mean, it's heartwarming. It's amazing.
I think you said it perfectly, Christina, is that he was not from this world. Like every way that you have described him, that is the truth. And the connection that he had to Christian, who he never met, it's emotional for me to even hear about it. And I know you both just said that you wanted to give Christian a hug. So I'm going to just not allow you to do it in person, but a virtual hug because Christian wanted to pop on and say hi.
Oh my gosh.
It's great to see you.
You just made my day.
Oh my God. No, you made mine. Hey, I just want to say, I mean, we've had so many people who have been working so hard on this thing and are so excited to work hard, but it's unbelievable how much Logan has touched people's lives. I mean, I just telling the story to people who want to help, man, I'm talking people have been drawn to tears just listening to his story. So on behalf of everyone, I just want to say thank you so much, seriously. And we're so excited to continue this and to keep this thing going. And it's all because of you guys, and it's because of Logan. And so I just want to say you guys have been a massive blessing in our lives, and everybody's who's going to be touched by this, and all the kids who are so excited to have his legacy be carried on. But I just want to leave you with that. And we really are so excited. This Madden tournament is going to be amazing. And you know, we're working hard on it, but it's going to be so much fun. So all the players, everybody who's participating, we just want to say thank you so much. And we're so excited.
I'm speechless. You have done so much. So, I mean, I am beyond grateful. There are no words to express my gratitude, because it's Logan's dream come true. He started this when he was 10, thinking of what he could do for other people, and he couldn't get there. He couldn't get there to do this, and it was something that we knew he was going to be able to do because that's what he wanted. And so it's just so emotional every time I see anything where my son's name is on it. I'm like, this is because of Christian. This is because his hero created it. It's because of him,
and it's because of you guys and your family. And we're happy just to play a small part in it, but this is going to be so much bigger than us, so much bigger than, you know, any of us could ever dreamed of, but it's all because of Logan, and it's because of your family. So thank you.
Christian, I just want to say thank you. And I'm sorry, because I didn't realize that you actually aren't that bad after hearing everything. You're decent. You're actually a decent human being. So good job, buddy.
You got to take back all the stuff you've said on this podcast, Lisa.
All the mean stuff I've said in the past. I am so sorry. I apologize.
Yeah, thanks. You know what? Thank you.
Christian, I give you credit. You overcame your mom's upbringing. I don't know how you turned out so
That's
well.
That's the greatest compliment I can get.
You somehow.
Yeah, if Logan was here, he would say the same thing. You know?
Yes.
He would say, like, we survived our boomer parents.
Christian, thank you so much for hopping on.
Yeah, Christina, great seeing you. We'll be in touch. Thank you again. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Christian.
Bye, Christian.
We'll see you. Have a good one. Bye.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. I did not expect that whatsoever.
I love that guy. Somebody that knows him, so I got him on.
Yeah. No. Lisa, I don't know who you contacted to get him on, but
I got him to his father. That's it.
I don't know. Christina, the floor is yours. I know you're probably speechless, but like,
but I want to ask you a question. I'm in awe of Logan's life and everything, but I can't even imagine when he got diagnosed and what you went through after he passed. How did you cope?
Well, like anybody else, I fell apart. I wanted to jump into the casket with him for a moment and just say, you know, let me hug him and stay with him forever. But then I realized I do have another son who needs me. And Logan would completely, you know, hate me even thinking that. So I had to pull myself back and just think of him and the things that he would have wanted me to do, and knowing how strong he was and how he wanted to succeed in absolutely everything that he did. I had to think about that, but I did spend many, many weeks in bed crying.
Of course.
You know, my faith was shattered. I just couldn't believe why God would allow such a thing to happen to such a good kid. I kept thinking there's so many other people in the world who are creating such negative environments for other people. And they're there, happy, healthy, being, you know, I guess the word would be thugs. I don't know. But why take this life that had such a plan to do so many things for other people, that he would walk through New York City and see people on the street, homeless and hungry. And I would say, well, we can, you know, give them money. He's like, no, why don't we invite them to have lunch with us so they can get out of the cold and they can sit there for as long as they want. He treated everybody with so much dignity and respect and love that truly my faith was completely shattered. I said, there can't possibly be a God if he's allowing this to happen when there's children that are going and doing, you know, other things like school shootings and that kind of thing. I'm like, it's just impossible. How can it possibly be? And it took me a while to come back around and understand that, you know, we have free will. Our world is not the way we wish it would be. And things happen to good people. Things happen to bad people. Things happen to everybody. And I just felt like, why me? Why not somebody else? But then at the same time, I wouldn't want anybody else to go through that either. So sometimes I feel like I'll take the hit and let somebody else not go through this. Wow. And then as much as I miss him, because he was the laughter in my house, he was the joy, that, you know, the jumping around, the hearing the laughter of coming out of his room when he was playing with his friends. He was the one that never complained about anything. I mean, besides not being at B of A Stadium watching Christian play. If we're like, we just can't go this weekend type of thing. He would say, well, he's playing in New York, so that I'm not asking you to go there. I'm asking you to go over here. So those are the only complaints we ever got from him. He was just a phenomenal kid. And I was so blessed to have spent those 12 years with him. So as much as I was angry for a while and hurt, I felt like I didn't want anybody else to feel that. So it was, I'd rather take that for them than them losing their child.
Wow. Well, I can tell even just by the way you described that, Christina, that Logan got a lot of his qualities directly from you. And you mentioned that you knew that his life was going to impact countless people and that he was going to do a lot of things. Well, he in 12 years is going to have done more than most of us will in 80, and the amount of lives that he is impacting, it's clear he has impacted his hero, Christian. His life and his story have impacted. And that's what Christian just said it. He said, like, the people that hear this story, it's brought them to tears. People he never met, Lisa, me, like, so I just want to say, like, thank you for sharing his story, for being as strong as you are. It's every parent's absolute worst nightmare, what you've gone through.
It is. It is. You never think that it could happen to you.
Right.
You never ever think that it could happen to you.
But Christina, you've turned this, or you're so strong, and you share his story, and you, by doing that, you help so many people, and his life mattered, and you're making it matter. And I mean, he, like Ashley said, he's changing lives out there. He is. He's just an incredible kid, and I wished I'd known him, but I'm so thankful that his name is living on and his legacy will be in set in stone forever.
But it wouldn't have been that way if it wasn't for your son. It really wouldn't. I know. I know that Logan adored Christian from day one, since the day he saw him step out on that field. Wow. I think he already knew him before that. I feel like he knew him, like, you know, in this existential way. I think he really did knew him, because he waited to have a team until he felt like that was his team.
Wow.
He never allowed us to push him into being a Giants fan, which everybody around here is. He never allowed us to make him a Patriots fan, which is the upper part of Connecticut. He said, no, I haven't found my team. I'm not ready. That's not my team. And we would root for the, you know, whatever team when they were in the Super Bowl or whatever was happening. And he was like, no, it doesn't matter who wins. It's not my team.
Wow.
And so I think he met Christian in a different realm. I don't know. It sounds crazy, but I think he knew him before he saw him play on the field because he was so connected to him. And he, there was not a day that went by that he didn't say something about, oh, did you see how he Christian played last week? Did you see how he like just jumped over that person? Did you see how he just like slid? He's like total parkour. That's why I do parkour.
That's the best description.
That is the best analogy and description of all time. I'm going to start. We need to get that, have it be that, be a thing, because it's perfect. Can I ask you one last thing, Christina? Because we could keep you all night, and you've been so generous with your time and your heart. When do you feel Logan the most? Like, I know when we lose people who we love and are connected to us, and I imagine, can only imagine a child, that there are times that you feel him around you, or something happens and you hear his voice in your head. Like, when do you feel Logan with you?
When we're watching football games.
Wow.
So we have a plan to go, because I see that the 49ers are playing on Christmas Day. So we have a plan to go and watch them play, because we used to go to California for every Logan's birthday. We used to spend his birthday in California. So I think we're going to honor him this year by going and watching Christian play.
Wow. Well, we'll have to do a celebration of his life before the game and after with Christian, for sure.
So that's when I feel him, when we're watching games. And I actually just asked all my friends on Facebook if it was crazy for me to go and get some 49er gear and just add some stuff to his room, because his room is intact. And so people are like, no, you do whatever you want. So I said, as crazy as this sound, I'm just going to go and put, you know, stuff in there, that, because I think that even if he's not here, he's some part of him is still here with us. Absolutely. And so it sounds crazy. I might be delusional.
It's not crazy at all. No, that's the perfect way to spend Christmas Day. I can't think of a better way to spend that day for all of the reasons. And, you know, I think about your mother sending that 49ers blanket and the two of them up there right now, smiling and yucking it up. Cause they, you know, maybe she knew somehow there was something there, but it's a special connection. And I will just say, from the outside, you guys, I was on a text thread with you, you know, the last few days, and seeing how two amazing women who raised amazing boys are connected forever, that would have been strangers because of this. It's been a gift for me to like watch and see and understand and learn. So thank you, Christina, truly from the bottom of our hearts. You are amazing. And Logan, I know you're listening and I know you know this, but your mom is a force. And I know that he is so proud of what you're doing. And Christian is having his name live on for a long time in a lot of meaningful ways. And you guys are going to impact a lot of kids. So thank you. Honestly, we love you and we appreciate you coming on and sharing your story.
No, thank you for having me. I'm very happy to always talk about Logan. I mean, he was my baby. He'll always be my baby. And I always wanted to do anything for him to make his life as happy and as meaningful as possible. And even now that he's in a different place, hopefully my belief in heaven is the right thing. And he's in heaven watching down looking down on us and saying, okay, you didn't drop the ball, mom. You're helping other kids, because that was the plan. And so
just don't cook them steaks. Don't cook them steaks.
Don't give any kids California bricks. But thank you so much for having me.
Christina, you're amazing.
You are amazing.
You're doing an incredible job. I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Enjoy the Logan Bowl. I hope Saturday is this beautiful, like, I just hope you can soak it up and enjoy it. And I know you'll, you know, Logan will be there certainly with you in your heart. And
you know how to
log on. So many people.
You know how to log on.
Do you have the log on?
You don't.
Okay, we will make sure we get you set up.
So I actually invited one of Logan's friends to come over. That's what I should teach me about Twitch.
I love that.
Logan was a streamer, so he has a
Twitch account. Good. Okay.
Otherwise, you're going to be like Logan when he was 3 years old, thinking that you're on, but you're not.
Right.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna be like, oh, I'm watching this.
And we will tag all of the information in the show notes of this podcast. So anybody who wants to watch along, it is twitch.tv/The Logan Project. But I cannot wait to watch and we'll see. Excited. It's going to be the first of many amazing things.
There's like 8 players. Greg Olson has stepped up. He's going to host it with Christian. I mean, people hear this story and they all are like, I'm on board. Where do I sign? And if they can't do it, they'll donate money or they'll donate the time or whatever. Just so you know, this has so much support and it's been an easy get and people are like quick to donate for the consoles and everything. So, I mean, gosh, this is amazing. It really is. So thank you. Thank you.
It has been amazing for us too, seeing that our town collected so much money. It melted my heart. I was like, they cared about my baby. They actually knew him because all the sports he played, they were so interconnected and he brought different groups together. So he was a good kid. He was a good kid and he found a good hero. And people ask me, how did he pick him? I say, you know, his heart knew. Like they their souls know. I just can't explain it. So
that makes me cry.
I'm grateful for you, Lisa, raising such an amazing human being, such a giving, he has a heart of gold. He has a heart of gold. And I, like I said, you're my hero because you created this amazing human being that my child had so many amazing, happy memories because he was watching him on the field and he was trying to mimic him and trying to get those qualities. And so he became a better person because of Christian.
Oh, wow.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much. And
I didn't do anything.
Christian, a big hug for me.
Amazing. Wow.
This is just unbelievable. I would have never guessed that we could have gotten this far with his project and what he had, you know, what Logan had in his mind. But thanks to your son with that heart of gold, it has gone so much further than we could have imagined. And I'm speechless.
There's and Christina, there's so much more to go. I feel it, you guys. I really do. Like there's been so, I mean, I think about this as like the very tip of the iceberg of what, you know, I'm sure Logan was hopeful that he was going to start one day. I mean, it's amazing. It really is.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate it.
We love you, Christina. Thank you for coming on.
Love you guys. Bye.
I don't really know how to put a bow on that interview. Lisa, first of all, like Christian, thank you for coming on. Seeing Christina's face when he popped on was amazing. And to underline the point that I made to you guys earlier, like it is impossible for any of these professional athletes, I think, to truly understand the impact that they can have. And it's listening to Christina talk about how her son loved your son.
I know.
I know what it felt like for me to listen to. I'd love to hear what it felt like for you to listen
to.
Yeah,
it was, I mean, I'm blown away. I'm floored. I picture Christian as a kid. And so in the fact that he can have such an impact and influence on another kid is just overwhelming to me because I think of him as a kid and I can't believe he had such an influence on that, on such a great kid's life too. And it's so sad it was cut short because I can't even imagine what he could have done with his life. Because I mean, he did so much in his 12 years. I'm just so thankful that now his name is living on and doing some great things and praying that we can get all these, I mean, it sounds so silly, but get gaming consoles in every children's hospital in the United States, because that was what he liked to do, was play video games. And nowadays video games, I don't know if a lot of people know this, you can connect and talk to your friends. That's how my boys stay connected. The late night, they'll play like 30 minutes
talk.
And they can talk to each other. It's like how women will talk on the phone or we talk on the phone. That's how they'll like, you know, jaw back and forth and stay connected. And Logan used to love, like during treatments when he was isolated in the hospital, he used to love to play video games to stay connected with his friends and other patients. And it's a little bit of light you can shed. And it just seems like his whole life, like his 12 years was like a big light, like just her talking about what an easy kid he was, how he was advanced and just like so special is overwhelming. It's just, and how he used to crawl out of his crib. Christian did the exact same thing. And I remember we'd pile pillows around because we thought he was going to be injured coming out of the crib. And they remind me so much of each other. It's eerie.
Yeah.
It's eerie.
Yeah.
So, oh, So anyway, no. This is, hopefully we can have his name live on.
And it will. And I think, you know, we've talked about this before, but the, that saying that you die twice, you die once when you take your last breath and you die again when someone says your name for the last time. And I read that the other day and it just hit me, you know, I've read it before, but it hit me harder. And I think about what Christian and you working with the foundation and your family, what the gift that you guys are giving, Christina and Ethan and Logan's dad, like it's what, if something ever happened, what you hope that someone would step up and do for you, because having your loved one's name live on and know that their life mattered and that their story mattered and that what they did when they were here ended up impacting other people. Like that's what you guys are helping do. So I just, it has been special to even watch this. I learned so much within the last 48 hours. I knew the story a little bit, but had no idea, you know, how deep it was and the connection that's been made. So yeah. I will just say this Saturday, June 3rd, 10 a.m. Pacific time. And we'll put all this info in the show notes, but you can find the Twitch channel. I said it before, but it's twitch.tv/TheLoganProject. And I will say, if you don't care about gaming and you don't even know what Twitch is or wonders like, and you just want to support the cause, you can do that too. And you can donate directly to the Logan Project on the ChristianMcCaffreyFoundation.org.
Yeah. You just go on the web, on the page and donate.
I'll give you all the information.
It's easy to do. But watch it, even if you aren't a gamer, because I'm not a gamer, but like Greg Olson and Christian are hosting.
It'll be so good.
They'll make it. Greg's the best. He's really, really animated. He's super fun. They'll make it really fun and special. And the guys they have playing, I mean, some guys like Saquon Barkley, Juju Smith-Schuster, Dalvin Cook, Fred Warner from the Niners, Austin Eckler, and others too. They're awesome. They're really interesting to see who the best Madden player in
that's
the
what I want to know. Yeah. So is Christian actually playing, or is he just kind of
hosting? He's scared. He's hiding behind the mic. He's
scared. That's so, you know, that's so typical Christian. Just
so him. Oh my gosh.
So is everything you need to know about him.
There you go.
Good job on raising that one, Lisa. On all of them. I can't imagine as a mom what it's like to see the impact that your kid can have on somebody else. So thank you, Christina Hale. We love you and we're looking forward to Saturday, June 3rd. Thanks for watching, everybody.
My name is Logan Preston Hale. I'll be singing "You're Welcome" from Moana. Okay. I see what's happening here. Your face is faced with greatness and it's strange. You don't even know how you feel. It's adorable. Well, it's nice to see that humans have a change. Open your eyes, let's begin. Yes, it's really me, it's Maui. Breathe it in. I know it's a lot. The hair, the bod. When you're staring at a demigod. So what can I say except you're welcome for the tide, the sun, the sky. Hey, it's okay, you're welcome. Well, I'm an ordinary demi-guy. Hey, what has two thumbs and pulled up the sky when you were lauding yay high this sky? When the nights got cold, who stole you fire from down below? You're looking at him, yo. Oh, also I lassoed the sun. You're welcome to stretch your days and bring you fun. Also I harness the breeze. You're welcome to fill your sails and shake your trees. So what can I say except you're welcome? For the islands I pull from the sea. There's no need to pray, it's okay. You're welcome. I'm just an ordinary way of being me. You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, come to think of it, kid, honestly, I can go on and on. I can explain every natural phenomenon. The tide, the grass, the ground. Oh, that was just Maui messing around. I killed an eel, I buried its guts. Sprouted in a tree, now you got coconuts. What is the lesson? What is the takeaway? Don't with Maui when he's on a breakaway. The tapestry here on my skin. It's a map tree of victories I win. Look where I've been, I make everything happen. Look at that mini Maui tippity tapping. Ha, 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 hey, hey, hey.
Hey, well, anyway, let me say you're welcome for the wonderful world you know. Yeah, it's okay, it's okay, you're welcome. Well, come to think of it, I gotta go. Hey, it's your day to say you're welcome, 'cause I'm gonna need that boat. I'm sailing away, away, you're welcome, 'cause Maui can't do anything but float. You're welcome, you're welcome, and thank you.